independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's actually undermining the credibility of the media because they drip, drip, drip a lot of things that don't seem to have much to do about nothing.
That right there, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is just dazzling us with her skills and her grasp of the English language as she gets in front of the media and does what she does as the spokesperson for the there White House. I don't want to belabor the point. I don't want to spend hours talking about it. I hear my comrades and my colleagues in this industry who pay attention to this stuff too much. It doesn't matter. I mean, you focus on the media and how bad they are and they're evil. And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. The media has jacked the pooch on more than a number of occasions. And somebody asked me last night, how is it that people can believe the media when they get it wrong a lot of times? Well, because we no longer ask the things we used to ask from our media. We no longer ask them to be the media the way we used to. And the reason for that is because we've decided to go and seek out infotainment. That's what I do. I'm infotainment. I am not a journalist. I'm not. I'm infotainment. I'm going to try to give you the truth as best that I possibly can. And I say as best because I'm not always going to have all of the numbers, all the facts, all the figures, or all of the story. But I'll do the best I can to paint everything the way that I think it really actually happened or as the story is presented to me. But I'm not going to gather stuff and write stories about it and hyper-focus on it. That's not my job. That's what a journalist does. But we have caused some of this. We got to look in the mirror here because we... And I'll say this. I think a lot of this changed in two ways. First and foremost, about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, we stopped watching scripted television and we decided watching people that we didn't know fight, argue on reality TV was interesting. And then you toss in social media and the opportunity to reach millions of people with an instantaneous soundbite or a video, and this is what you get. This is it. And the media now has to compete with that. Well, how do you compete with that if you're the media? You can't. Because now people have access to whatever they want, news-wise, based on their political leanings and their beliefs, when they want it, how they want it. So the media is trying to keep up with it. Well, what do? You become salacious. They're no longer news readers delivering the news with 20 journalists behind them and a person's getting up there. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm blah, 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 blah. This is the news. And they spend 30 seconds, 40 seconds on each story, maybe 5 minutes on a story in the middle and 2 or 3 minutes later on, and they'll have something funny and that's it. It's no longer that. We want these people to be entertaining. And they need to be entertaining to continue to bring people to them. And I think we have to also draw a line between what's media and what's not media. And by that I mean, when people say the media, I'm the media. Rush Limbaugh's the media. Sean Hannity's the media. They're not journalists. Journalism, news, much different than the media. The media is anything. But you've got to compete. So how do you compete in this day and age? You have to be louder. You have to say things that are more outrageous. I'll tell you this. Have I done talking head shows? Yes. Do I scream and yell and say the most outlandish, crazy things? No. That's what they want. That's what they want. You don't have to be right. You have to be interesting. That's the big thing. I always ask people. People say, hey, listen to your show. I'm like, did you like it? Yeah, it was funny. It was this. I said, was I interesting? Yeah, that's all I care about. Yes, I want to be right. Who doesn't want to be right? But interesting is the most important thing. So we need to decide what's media and what's news. CNN tries to portray themselves as news when really they're entertainment slash news. They're opinion heads. And if you're somebody who's in the media, you've seen your industry change, like my industry has changed over the last 20 plus years. And now with the advent of, yes, dare I say, computers and the internet, it's changed tremendously. So you can no longer be a journalist that sits in front of a typewriter, a computer goes, and write your 5,000-word story, and you send it off, and away it goes. Now what you have to be is you have to be something else. You have to be a brand. You have to brand yourself. Well, nobody wants boring. I have news for you. No matter how good Conor McGregor is, if he didn't talk like this and throw his hands in the air and say, I'm going to do this and have all the tattoos and, oh, my God, I'm coming to get you, and hold on, nobody would be paying $100 to see this fight because it would never happen. It would never happen. Case in point, Joe Scarborough last night was on with Colbert.
You've changed your attitude about Donald Trump. Why haven't other Republicans done the same?
I think it's inexplicable. This is well before Donald Trump was elected president that my party has betrayed their core values. I remember back in December of 2015 when Donald Trump supported a Muslim ban. I said on the air, it's very simple. It's black and white. I said I could never vote for anybody in my party, they would say they were going to ban people because of the God they worshipped. You look at...
Ass kiss. But it is what it is with Joe Scarborough. But can I say something? A lot of people have passed him off over the last 2 or 3 weeks as what? Well, he's news because he's on MSNBC. And said, no, he's a media figure. He's not a journalist. He's a former Republican politician. And I say former because he is former, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he's media. He surrounds himself with people who are supposed to be journalists, but they're not journalists anymore the way that we think of journalists. They're not sitting there cranking out stories or giving you an unbiased look at stuff because it doesn't work anymore. If you want to be relevant, you have to stand out, period. You have to stand out. Because everybody is competing for a piece of the pie, and there's plenty of it to go around, but you still need to get yourself to the point where you could take a bite of that trough. And sometimes you have to be insane. Sometimes you have to go crazy. Now, the media is the media. News journalism, on the other hand, totally different. They have played a game with Trump. They do not like Trump, and some of that is Trump, because Trump has challenged them to a fight. They have challenged them in their morality, their ethics. He's come into their home and he's challenged them to a fight, but only because behind his back they have said things. Some potentially true, some not true. But we have to separate what's media and what's not. Joe Scarborough, and this is when I hear people say, God, the news, they're all just full of lies. Well, whoa. That's not news. That's infotainment. That's opinion makers, right? That's not news. Here's some more from Joe from last night on Colbert.
In February, when he talked about David Duke and pretended that he didn't know who David Duke was and didn't know what the Ku Klux Klan did, you didn't have Republicans coming out saying, I can never support Donald Trump because he's racist. They'd have 1,000 other excuses why. They always overlook that. Judge Curiel, when he called a guy from Indiana, he attacked him, said he can never be fair because he's Hispanic. Republicans didn't come out and say, I can never vote for Donald Trump because he's a racist, time and time and time again.
Blah, 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 blah. But what's he doing? He's saying stuff that catches your ear because that's what it's all about. I've got plenty of friends in this business and acquaintances that do what? They say stuff that's outrageous. Why is that? Because it catches the ear and it gets likes. It gets shares. We were talking to our social media guy that was in here today. You know what he said the king of things are in this business? It's about getting shares. It's not about getting likes. It's not even at times getting views. It's about getting shares. How many times can stuff be shared? You don't get things shared or talked about if you come out and you lay out the facts and you lay out the data and there it is. There's got to be something behind. There's got to be the P.T. Barnum or it doesn't work. Case in point is a perfect example last night, Joe Scarborough on Stephen Colbert, right on top of him, too. It was really weird. But on Stephen Colbert, and if you're going to say something, you come out, you pander to the crowd, and then you say something like this, which will get people talking.
You're doing the same thing now, and it's actually disgusting, and you have to ask yourself, what exactly is the Republican Party willing to do? How far are they willing to go? How much of this country and our values are they willing to sell out?
But aren't you a Republican?
I am a Republican, but I'm not going to be a Republican anymore. I've got to become an independent.
Let's all clap because it's vitally important that we clap about that and people will talk about it. And people say, see what happened? He's a media figure. Shia LaBeouf is somebody who, he's in the media. He's in entertainment. It's all wrapped up in the same. And that's where we have changed. News has become entertainment as much as entertainment has become news. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. So there you are. You're saying to yourself, kids, get in the car, we're going on a trip. You're like, no way, Dad, that's going to be awesome. You go outside, kids, get back in the house, trip's canceled, car's broke. What do you do? Well, Dad, what do we do? I don't know. I don't know if I even have any money to fix this. Do what I did. So simple. Go to CarShield, please. That's all you have to do. I've been telling you that forever and a day. Go to CarShield. CarShield is amazing. Extended vehicle service protection from CarShield is unlike anything else out there. The cost of fixing things now is through the roof. Do you know that it's about $1,500 to get your air conditioner fixed? $1,500. Oh, my goodness. What about, say, for instance, a transmission? $2,000, $500 for a fuel pump. Oh, I know. What about the gadgets and gadgets? A lot of people ask me that. Chad, does CarShield take care of the gadgets and gadgets, the GPS and things like that? Yes, they do. And those sensors cost you up to $1,000 to get fixed. That right there, kids, is nuts. CarShield will cover you and then some. This is what's great. 24/7 roadside assistance, a rental car, while your kids are waiting for you to wait for that car. Come on, Dad. No. Don't worry about that. Your car's in the shop. Kids, we got a rental car. We're taking off. Thank you, CarShield. And oh, by the way, you choose the shop. Doesn't matter what shop it is. You choose it. They pay them directly. You don't have to wait. You don't have to tell the kids, we can't go. I had to front the money, get the car fixed. No. They take care of it. CarShield is everything and then some you want in extended vehicle service protection. So what are you waiting for? I know. Chad, how do I get in touch with them? I'll tell you right now. It's simple. It's easy. Go to carshield.com/Benson. You're going to save 10%. Or call 800-CAR and mention my code Benson. Saves you 10%. Carshield.com. Use code Benson. Saves you 10%. Call 800-CAR-6100. Say Benson. Save 10%. Simple. Easy, right? Yeah, it really is, Chad. Deductible may apply. The Chad Benson Show. Facebook at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, CHADBENSON. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. A lot of good stuff. People texting in. Please feel free to do that. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next between the relationship between man and AI, artificial intelligence? Very interesting. They had a big seminar, if you will, a big debate where artificial intelligence was actually on the stage to human-like robots that were humanoid from essentially the waist up, and they were just kind of, that's all that there was of them, but very real in their look. And they asked them about, well, what's your plans for the future? What are your plans for humans? And they said, to take over the world. artificial intelligence. What's next? It's going to continue to grow. We want artificial intelligence because it may offer us so much. But at the same time, you are in some ways playing with fire. Do I think that there's going to be a Skynet situation? I do not. But I would be lying if I didn't think that at some point in time, artificial intelligence will get to the point where the thinking side of it is growing so fast that it blows our minds away. And we're already starting to see that artificial intelligence is doing several things on its own, including two computers who have built a special language that they communicate with themselves that coders and human beings don't understand what it is. They have essentially made their own language. What are they talking about? Well, we don't know. But what's next for artificial intelligence as humans is an extremely amazing partnership and relationship that currently humans run. But over time, because of the word artificial intelligence, and intelligence being the big thing there, it will grow. It will start to think on its own to a point where it will even start to hide things from us. But do I ever think it'll get to the point where it's Skynet and there is a, I'll be back? I don't. But it will be interesting because I do think there will be a tug of war, at least in our lifetimes, of artificial intelligence and humans, and who will, you know, vie to be the leaders, if you will. That's what's next. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chadbensonshow.com. So much stuff. Man, I'm getting a ton of text messages about the media and news. People saying, I never heard it put like that. We got some on that stuff. I want to talk about Charlie Gard. That's the young boy in Great Britain whose parents are trying to get them over here, him over here for a special trial. He's dying. They were in court again today. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
If Hillary had won, our military would be decimated. Mm-hmm. Our energy would be much more expensive. That's what Putin doesn't like about me. And that's why I say, why would he want me?
That there is Donald Trump. He's actually the president of the United States. I think we forgot the fact that he is the president. He is, actually. It's crazy. And by the way, they're looking at his tax plan. 20% of people could pay higher taxes under Trump's tax plan. According to the analysis Wednesday released by the Tax Policy Center, 71% would probably pay a lower portion of taxes. So large number of middle class, that's not good. Upper middle class taxpayers would see a tax hike due to loss of deductions and the elimination of both the personal and dependent exemptions. Both the very rich and the very poor would be among the least affected by higher rates. About 2% of taxpayers who make $3.4 million a year would be hit with a tax increase, while 7% of taxpayers making less than $25,000 a year would see their tax bill go up or get less money back from tax credits is what it's more about. About 75% of middle-income taxpayers who earn about $50,000 to about $86,000 would see their taxes decrease by an average of about $760 a year. But the remainder of that group would see their taxes go up and have to pay about $1,000 a year more. So there you go. There's something that's real. That's actual policy. Wasn't exciting, though, right? That's not exciting, right? That's like watching a bad magician. That's exactly what that was. Like, you could see his hand, and he's trying to do something, and that's exactly what that was. It was, nobody cares. Nobody cares. You know why? Because it's tough. You know, here's a perfect example of how things are tough. Healthcare. We say, go in there, get it done. It's 160 pages. It is so hard. Do you realize that just, I believe every state has their own tax commissioner. I mean, their own insurance commissioner. So they have things they have to do. We want to be able to have an opportunity to cross state lines to buy insurance that we think fits us better and therefore creating competition, which may make things cheaper. But because every state has their own laws, that is tough to do. There are so many things that go into this. That's why I tell everybody, when you look at the Obamacare, the ACA, it's not written as health care. It's written as a law, and it's written to withstand lawsuits. That's what it's really written for. It's not written to give you better health care. It wasn't. That was never the intention. The intention was we'll either get a bunch of people insured or we'll break the damn thing, which is what we're hoping to do, and that way we can just run everything all together. The Republicans are trying to fix things that may be unfixable, and they're trying to put pieces together that no matter how hard you try, you may not be able to get that square peg through that round hole. It's not just easy, like, go in the room and get something done. But much like the tax thing here, if you can please 71% of people, piss off 24% of people, right? And a few percentage points really aren't affected. That's a win, because you're never going to please everybody. Speaking of pleasing nobody, Charlie Gard's family was in court today. Why is this important? Because we look at what potentially could be the single-payer system that may end up on our shores sooner rather than later. We've always heard there's no such thing as death panels. There's not. There's nobody sitting around a room, a bunch of guys, yes, today we're not going to do this. This person needs to go away. But there are situations where the hospital decides it's going to do the best thing for themselves and for the government because they don't see the potential for recovery and the cost of the taxpayers too great, so they want to end services, i.e. take people off respirators and life support and let them pass away, even though the families want to try something else. Charlie Gard is an 11-month-old baby who has a very rare disease, and he has a chance to come to the United States for a controversial treatment, some people are calling it. Other doctors around the world have said, look, this thing is not that controversial. And to say it's even a million in one shot would be a lie, because a lot of doctors are saying he's got about a 10% chance of really improving his life. But no. Charlie Gard, his family is doing all they can to get him here. But National Health Services, NHS, are saying, sorry, you can't take your child and you can't go anywhere. And we're going to eventually decide what's going to happen. They were supposed to pull the plug about a week and a half ago. They were back in court today, and they were told, come today with everything you possibly can to prove why we should let this child go.
A dramatic day in court Monday. Charlie Gard's family and the hospital presenting their cases, but emotions were running high. At one stage, Charlie's family shouting towards the legal team representing the hospital, saying, quote, when are you going to start telling the truth? He also shouted to the judge, and he said, they are lying to you. Now, there's been a lot of interest in this case from around the world. Donald Trump and the Pope both tweeting their support, but the judge said that he wouldn't be swayed by tweets, and it was fresh evidence that he was looking for.
And that fresh evidence was presented today, and more will be there tomorrow. And if you have to think about this for a second, right? Just, you know, and the perfect example is we have a listener in the audience, Justin, his son Mason, out there in Indy. They listen to us on WIBC. He is fighting leukemia, is fighting cancer, and he's going to kick its ass, but it is taking a toll, and it is tough. I couldn't even imagine Justin, who's doing everything he can. He'll text me late at night. He'll send me an instant message and says, you know, hey, Chad, how's it going? You know, and we'll talk back and forth. And I couldn't imagine what it's like to have to stop being there for your sick child so you can go to a court to talk about how you feel that you know what's best for your child and how you want to treat your child, because the hospital is saying, as you're not doing it correctly, we're going to decide what's going to happen. You're taking away energy from a parent who should be there with their child. That has to be beyond infuriating. That absolutely, I would be apoplectic. If something like that happened with Jack, I would lose my mind. we would be treating a lot of people for a lot of different things. That's all I have to say.
Charlie suffers from a rare genetic disease. He can't breathe alone. He can't see, hear, or move. That's why doctors want to turn off his life support. His parents disagree. So Thursday, the wait is on for Thursday when his parents will have the chance to present their new evidence.
So he can't see, he can't hear, he can't move. And this is one of these diseases where when the child's born, and I think there was like 100 cases in the last couple of years. I mean, it's so rare. And that's like worldwide. So rare. That everything looks normal with the child. And eventually you start to see a change, and it's gradual and it's fast. And this new opportunity to come here and try this treatment would do two things. First of all, it gives the child a fighting chance. I don't care if it's 0.1%. I don't care if you told me, here's the deal, Chad. Chance to save your child, but you've got to wrestle a great white shark. I'm taking that chance. Oh, I'm probably going to lose, but I'm taking that chance. You bet your candy ass I am. You bet there is no way you are stopping me. Well, they're doing all they can to stop him. So if you have a chance, and it's not costing you a penny, it doesn't cost you a dime. He's not asking the taxpayers of England, hey, pay. No, they've got the money. They've got the transportation. But they're saying no, 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 no. So now they have to go back again tomorrow, taking more time away from their child to go into court tomorrow again so they can present more evidence about their child and why they believe their child should have this. And here's the other thing. Think about this for just a second. What will this do, even if it doesn't save Charlie? Will this give this doctor and this research team evidence that they would never have had that may improve this and give other people who have things like this, because it's not just this, that they're using this treatment on, not only a fighting chance, but will it advance them years instead of, and maybe a decade? That is something to think about. But often, you know what? It seems that bureaucracy seems to know what's best for your child.
He's a little trooper and he's a soldier. He will fight and he'd fight to the very end, and he's still fighting, but we're not allowed to fight for him anymore. Our parental rights have been stripped away. We can't even take our own son home to die. We've been denied that. Do you not think we've been put through enough?
That's the other thing they told him. You can't even take your child home to hospice because we don't trust you. I'd be like, you shouldn't trust me. In fact, if you were smart, you wouldn't even let me back in this hospital. Because if you think you're going to stop me, oh, no, not going to happen. It's nuts. It's crazy. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. A lot of text messages to get to, and we will get to those. Teleportation. Boom, we're moving closer. How close? Well, they just did something that they thought they were years away from doing, and it's kind of exciting. It's kind of very exciting. And we've got a shark attack issue with a kayaker and something that is from the deep, dark blue. Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what?
He hit me, and then when he let me go, it knocked me sideways, and I fell out. And then he left. You know, he bit the boat, decided it was not tasty, and left.
Say what? Producer Phil, can you remind us real quickly again, if you go into nature, what potentially could happen?
Nature will mess you up.
Will mess you up. That right there, Steve Lawson, off the coast of California in a kayak, a few hundred yards from shore. Next thing you know, flippity flappity floopity, he's in midair. He's out of his kayak. And there's only one thing that would do something like that out there. And he knew it wasn't a whale. It was a great white shark. The panic that must have come, I know I'd be flipping out. was tremendous. But he held it together, and he realized, hey, this thing doesn't want to eat me. And a lot of times, though, when they realize they don't want to eat you, it's too late because you no longer have legs. But he managed to live. But a Canadian man was not so lucky. And you see, the difference here between this Canadian man and that man there was that man escaped a great white shark. Say what? This man, on the other hand, was doing something nice in the Gulf of St. Lawrence. Yeah, he's part of the Caballo Whale Rescue Team. And they were rescuing whales that got caught up in lobster nets. One whale was so very excited that he was freed, he jumped out of the water and did a flip right on to said Canadian whale rescuer, crushing him. Hence the reason why doing good deeds isn't always as deedful as you might think. We wish you all the best, sir. You've got into whale heaven because of that. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Ron in Indy, what's happening?
First off, Charlie Gunn, my heart goes out to the poor kid, you know, because, you know, the British, if you still want to call them that, you know, their healthcare system is really overburdened, you know, because if you think about it, single-payer system. Now, it may work, because I still believe that here in America, and we claim that we are still the greatest country in the world, and I believe in a lot of ways we still are. But I think that if we really want to show the world how it's done, we can have a successful single-payer system. Let's think about something here real quick. If you continue to let all the immigrants that want to come here, when they know you have a single-payer system, they're going to come. It's going to be like, hey, there's going to be a sign at the border that says, hey, last person out, turn out the lights. And Chad, let's go ahead. Immigrants have more rights than we do. They got ACLU, and hey, all you immigrants out there, I love all of you. You know, I work with a lot of you. But fill out the paperwork and get in line and preserve your respect. You know, because I can tell you this, immigrants, for the most part, just like I said, have more rights than we do. You got the ACLU, and you got all these other groups.
I hear you, my man. I hear you. Thanks so much for your call, Ron. And I will say this. Look, here in California, we've gone off the deep edge where, you know, last week we settled in San Francisco and gave somebody whose sanctuary city rights were violated almost $200,000. It drives us all crazy. And could we have the greatest single-payer system in the world? I think we could. But remember, for the Democrats, it's about control. A lot of that is about control. And it's also about the equality of access to health care. And I have said all along, if you want to see inequality, if you want to see people that are totally not equal when it comes to access of health care, if you want to see that go south, make a single payer system and watch what happens. The rich and the well-to-do and the upper middle class will find ways to get the best health care, period, case closed. And it will make the haves and have-nots now look like nothing. It will. That's what will happen. Do I think in this country that anybody should go bankrupt from a heart attack or cancer? Or no. But I think there's ways that we can do things if we put our heads together and do what we need to do. We became the greatest nation on earth because of the idea of what we were. We put ourselves up by our bootstraps. We wanted to be independent. We wanted to make our own path. And in a lot of ways, we've done that tenfold. I think our founding fathers would be like, whoa, look what happened here. How about that? And look at the time at which we did it, how fast it came. There are ways that if we put our heads together and we think outside the box, we can get things done that are incredible. But we're not there yet because there's so many people who want to continue to feed at the trough. And they continue to feed at that trough. And they'll continue to do so. It's not hard to figure some of this stuff out. But in the way that we have things now, it's a tough go. It's going to be a tough go. It's going to be a tough go. But I have said all along, there are ways and systems that we can put in place where able-bodied working adults will work and they will cover their own health care cost. But when and if people get sick with cancer, with HIV, with diabetes, whatever it is, we can go out there and we can cover that need immediately and take care of that person along the way. But do we really want to do that? Because, see, this is the great world that we live in. It's lots of money, and the trough is still full, and they're going to feed at that trough over and over again, and both sides are feeding into that trough, along with the people like the health insurance industry, the bio industry, all of that. We can do it, but we got to think outside the box. It's not that hard, though. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.